Ghostbusters Resurrection is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Yeah. We're good to go.
You guys are back in Orlando. During the last game, Josh asked if he knew how to contact a Mr. Jack Burton.
Yes. Tried to get in contact with Mr. Jack Burton, ask him what if he can provide us with any knowledge of what happened with the Wing Kong organization in the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get a hold of it, I'll just say that you find out that he was a truck driver. He retired. There's a lot of rumors as to where he went. Some say that he was went back to San Francisco and started a restaurant. Some say he started a bar. Some say he started like his own truck delivery service. He's hard to pin down, but I mean, like, he is in fact alive. That was your big question. Is he alive?
Yeah.
He is alive.
Oh, good. So now we know how the movie ends.
Yeah. if you wanted to try and contact him, it's not out of the question, but it would take, you know.
Sure, I guess I'll commit efforts to try to contact him.
In the time that you've been gone, it's only really been a few days, I think, right? It's only been like...
Very busy.
Like a week and a half,
yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, in the other layover we had.
Yeah.
New York.
But once things have kind of gone back to normal, little Han Chu shows up with her older brother at the firehouse one day.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's like, after giving you guys back the tooth and everything like that, she just wanted to say that it's like, in like the week or so that you've been gone, everything's been going back to normal, and she wanted to thank you guys again, but she was so excited, and she says that she wants to be a Ghostbuster when she grows up. And
we're like, stay in school. get a better job.
Go to college, get a degree, find less dangerous work.
But she does ask if she wants to know if there's like a junior Ghostbusters program or like the DARE program or something that just like for the kids or whatever.
Well, I mean, we fought werewolves and
for the kids.
I mean, we could start No Fangs.
Yeah, exactly. That's like ultimately where I could go to. It's like No Fangs is like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know how Billy would feel about that.
That's like, that's true. Billy might have a couple things to say. But basically, she just expressed interest, and she said she's talked to kids at school, and they want to come hang out at the firehouse and see all the cool stuff and like start learning about. You know.
We might bring the kids to the firehouse day, and do a tour or whatever. Yeah. That'd be cool.
I'll just leave it up to you guys how you want to handle that for the future. But like, she just was totally down for that if you guys ever wanted to.
Yeah, strap
like
nuclear accelerators on little kids.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's do this.
Well, this is more of a learning experience. Okay. Yeah, it's like taking kids to the police department or taking kids to the fire department.
We could mount a Neutrona wand on a metal pole, and you get a little bit of play, like where you can move it around a little bit, and like a ceramic enforced wall, you know, like from the fire it at with
just release a couple class ones into the air.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, go kids.
Anyway, a lot of reward for you guys doing a great job. But it's not too long that after you're back, you get another phone call from a Mr. Carrico, who's in Miami. He runs a television studio in Miami. And he's been having problems with a ghost that's been haunting the TV studio, and he wants to know if you guys can come down. He'll pay you whatever would be reasonable for canceling an entire day of whatever business would be in Orlando to come specifically to Miami to take care of this thing for him.
Okay.
So, not only do we get to bill him for what we bust, but what we could have been busting back in Orlando. That's pretty good.
It's pretty reasonable.
But he sounded very desperate over the phone, and he's like really hoping you guys can come.
So you guys hear about that crazy demon that's trying to take over Orlando today?
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Like Class 7 that got loose?
Yeah.
The World Eater?
Wish we were back in Orlando.
Yep. How about we just bust that thing, and then let's just bill him for the phone call?
Those billable hours add up. But I guess it's a good time to say that Brian is going to be playing the part of tonight's ghost. And this is your first time playing any of the Ghostbusters
stuff.
Is this
your first day as a ghost, sir?
yesterday was a bad day.
I feel bad that you've been quiet a lot because there's not much to contribute because you're dead.
And in Miami.
Yeah. But other than that, I guess if you guys are ready to go check it out, you can pick your cards and get a move on.
Mine. We're driving?
Mine.
Yeah. I mean, unless you want to walk.
Usual.
No. Driving or flying?
Flying to Miami?
I don't want to. I don't trust transportation anymore.
Let's be fair. This season, when I've driven, I haven't killed us.
I wasn't even referring to you. I was talking about the actual things trying to kill us on every form of transportation we were on.
There's the ghost on the boat.
Yeah.
Ghost plane.
Yeah.
Ghost
train,
shuttle.
You can't even travel safely by sewer these days.
We fought on horses.
What about a hover? What about a hovercraft?
Take a hovercraft to Miami.
Oh yeah, by the way, with all the money we made from saving Europe, we just take off on rocket pack.
I can't hook you guys up.
The proton pack, by the way, doubles. So we're in the Ecto 1.
Yeah.
Really unhappy it's not the
Geist 2. Well, you know, with the money you guys are expected to be getting, you can upgrade to pretty much anything you want. But it just hasn't happened yet, because this has only been, like, you know, a few days, maybe a week since you've been back.
I still want a motorcycle. Ecto fun. A sidecar for Tobin.
I agree.
It's some specially made goggles for Tobin.
Of course.
So you guys are on your way to Miami?
Yes.
Things are going fine in the Ecto 1. I'm assuming you take Tobin with you as well?
Or yeah, just... of course.
Things are going well. Tobin's
got his
head out.
What's Doug doing while we leave? What's Doug doing?
I'm hanging out with Ian at the firehouse. We're actually doing his paperwork.
I was gonna actually volunteer the best Ghostbuster of us to be in charge of the little Ghostbusters.
Me? But I'm not a Ghostbuster. It's
let's be fair. You were a Ghostbuster while we were away.
That is true. Yeah. So you guys are on your way to Miami. Tobin's got his head out the window. You know, it's a nice day.
Adorable.
You guys got the address. You head out to this TV studio. Mr. Carrico is already outside. He's waving you in, introduces himself, starts to explain the situation. It's basically he's a producer of the new children's television show called Harvey the Hamster. It hasn't gone to air yet because he was also a producer on another children's television show called Mr. Richards' Land of Imagination. You may have like heard of it. It wasn't like super popular, but it's like you guys are aware of it. The main guy played himself was Mr. Richard. He had died of natural causes. But since they started filming the Harvey the Hamster, it appears that his ghost has been coming back and just upsetting filming, like, in the middle of it. And he won't leave. Like, there's nothing... They've tried talking to him, but it's like he doesn't really even seem that he knows that he's dead. He's just sort of floating around. And
so was he an actual hamster or a guy dressed as a hamster?
Harvey the Hamster is a guy. Harvey the Hamster is a guy in a suit. It's like Barney the Dinosaur.
Okay.
He's in a full suit. The guy who plays Harvey is like obviously scared to go to work because he gets harassed, you know, from this ghost that's floating around and everything. And it's put a grinding halt on everything. And if they can't solve this problem, they're going to have to just sell the studio because the studio's not making any money if they're not putting anything on air. And if they're going to have to sell, they're going to have to bulldoze the site and, you know, who knows. So... everyone's really desperate. They want to keep their jobs, and this thing's not going away. So if you guys can go check it out and see if you can get rid of it, it'll save a lot of jobs.
It's incorporeal, I assume. The ghost, it's...
From the description he would give you, it would sound that way.
Okay, so I'm going to switch the proton pack.
That will still work, but the, you know...
Not as good well. Yeah. Not as well, though. Yeah.
You can't trap with a dark matter.
You get a fist bump for thinking.
Is there anything else you guys needed to know before you headed in? I mean, it's...
How did he die?
He was an older gentleman when he died, but he died of natural causes. The producer said that he like died of like liver cancer. It was something that didn't sound suspicious to you guys. So
you said how familiar are we with the previous show?
Like you've heard of it, you may have like seen commercials or some advertising for it on TV. It's not like it's not something like you grew up watching. You know, like I said, it's like a knockoff of Mr. Rogers.
It's as actually like Walt's favorite show, and he's just like
secretly, yeah. it's like.
It's like, I can't believe I'm actually standing here.
It's like being in the original Olympic Stadium.
There are other people out there today, just to, like, to answer any questions and everything. I'll say that the actor who plays Harvey the Hamster, his name is Eugene Mills. He's there if you guys wanted to talk to him.
Eugene, that's pretty like...
Yeah.
No, Eugene. Like...
Yeah. The other producer... there is another producer that Carrico was talking about. He says that him and his co-producer's name is Victor Brahman. Victor's there. He doesn't seem quite happy with calling the Ghostbusters. He didn't talk to you guys really much at all. But they're there to answer any questions you guys have and sort of, like, take you through, show you where this, like, you know, how to get in and everything, make sure you guys are clear
okay.
to go.
Got it. Okay, so when Mr. Richard was alive, did he express any complaints before he died about the way the show was run or when it was taken over? Was there any bad blood?
No, we got along pretty famously. It wasn't until he fell ill that that we realized that, you know, the show wasn't going to last forever. We were picked up for another season. Things were going fine, but he just fell ill. It was kind of sudden, but he was a good friend of mine, you know. I've been in business with him for a long time, but there was no bad blood between us.
I asked him if the details of the liver problem that he had were known, like, or was it just kind of vague when you heard about it.
I mean, like, when he personally heard about it?
No, no, like, when the studio, like, did he tell...
Oh, yeah, the studio knew, because he felt ill, like, you know, there was plans to film more seasons and more episodes and everything, and the shows were going to go on for as long as he wanted to. Again, they weren't super famous, but they were just going to continue as long as the show could make some money. And he liked his job, you know, seemed he was a pleasant guy. But when he fell ill, yeah, the studio knew about it, with production on hold, to wait and see if he would get better, but he died, you know, like, within a month that we found out that he had liver cancer, mm-hmm. and... he says, like, they had this soundstage, it's a children's set, they're all experienced in children programming, so we figured we gotta do another children's show, and someone came up with this idea for Harvey the Hamster after Mr. Richards died. It wasn't like that someone was trying to muscle him out, he just happened to die, and we had to fill in the slot pretty quickly with a new show, and this was the first thing that came up.
Does Harvey the Hamster wear a top hat?
No.
Here's your problem.
No, that's why you get ghosts.
That'll be $7,000.
No, that's why you get ghosts. You get the top hat, you're not showing no class.
Does Mr. Richards, does his ghost show up at any specific point during filming, or is he just wandering around and preventing you from doing anything, or does he actually interrupt filming sessions?
Well, it had gotten progressively worse. Like, it started off, we just thought we were having electrical problems. We'd be in the middle of filming an episode, and the stage lights would go out, cameras would stop working, that sort of thing. It seemed very strange, but nothing paranormal. But the more shooting would go on, we would hear, like, you know, the traditional telltale signs of hauntings, like, you know, doors opening and slamming, and, you know, cold drafts, and sounds of moaning. Yeah. But then we knew, like, we thought it may have been haunted. We were later able to confirm that it was Mr. Richard when he would visibly start to show up. We would actually see him, you know, come through the wall and start going about his business and just start talking as if he was on the show in character as himself.
Sounds like you've got a meal ticket on your hand. You're just ignoring.
It's what we've actually had tried. Not that we were thinking in terms of making the money, but we did try to capture him on film to show that we weren't crazy. That, you know, the reason we had to answer to the studio, why have we been filming Harvey the Hamster? Because it's been happening. There's been several times where we would be in the middle of a shot with the studio audience full of children, and Mr. Rich would just come through the wall and start talking to the kids and terrify everybody, and then they would run away. And we'd have the cameras rolling, but when you would review the footage, you just would see some white light. You wouldn't see a shape of any kind. Mm-hmm. I have all that saved if you guys want to check it out, if it'll help your investigation.
I just want a recording of the kids' reaction to it. So I can set it as my ringtone.
Put it on YouTube. Just like,
yeah, it's better to ring.
You want to just go check it out?
Yeah.
Just
roll it around.
Okay. He'll
break into teams.
He'll open the door.
Good
for
idea.
You.
You get more damage that way.
Thank you, Mike.
Eugene, the actor who plays Harvey the Hamster, he's gonna just, like, sit in the lobby.
In his hamster suit?
No, he's not in his hamster suit.
Oh, that'd be so fun. If he's just, like, sitting on a bench, just looking so sad.
Unable to eat a sandwich.
I look at him like, get that top hat.
Also, Mr. Carrico, the main guy, he'll actually follow you guys in, but Mr. Brahman is gonna just, like, hang around outside. He's gonna, like, hang around the lobby. He doesn't seem interested in talking with you.
Before we depart from Mr. Carrico,
mm-hmm.
I hand him a waiver.
Okay. He'll sign it. Yeah, he understands. It's like, you know.
This set is getting fucked.
Oh.
So he'll go, he'll open the main door to the main sound stage, and it's a large area. You see several TV cameras all set up, ready to go. The lighting is on and everything, and you see a children's set. It looks like it's a children's classroom, but it's, you know, it's like a set or whatever. Mm-hmm. Looks like Harvey the Hamster is like the pet hamster of a class, of, like, you know, like a third grade class or something like that.
How big is his cage?
Well, I mean, it's there, but it's just like, it's like sort of like Barney the Dinosaur. He comes to life, like, after school hours or whatever, and talks with the kids and says no drugs.
Wait.
And all that fun stuff.
Are the kids filmed?
They're not here, but yeah.
No, I mean, like, normally. Would it be like...
like an audience where they sit on the bleachers?
Right, or is it like there's certain kids that are involved, like Barney?
There are certain actors who are involved,
okay.
But there is, like, a large group of kids that you can be in the audience, and you can come sit down, like, have a round table, like, sort of, he'll, like, read a story or something like that, and they can sit on the nice carpet floor and everything like that.
Do they wear top hats?
The children? No.
They need to.
Regardless.
Take a brownie point.
I want him punished.
So anyway, you guys head in, you're looking around. I mean, you want to start scanning, you can let me know.
This is actually kind of creepy. Like, classroom.
Yeah.
And it's like half of a classroom, it's not like a real classroom. This is a huge area, and it's only, like, tucked into one corner where the you know, the set is and everything. And
as long as there's no ghost kid.
I'm gonna...
I already don't like old people. Old people and children.
I'm gonna put my goggles on.
Yeah, I'll say that you start looking around. You do sense like an aura like that around this entire soundstage. Very weak, but like it's enough for something to be moving through. You do detect a bright spot that looks like it's not in the soundstage area. Like maybe it's like through the wall of the soundstage. Like maybe in one of the neighboring offices or something. But it's small. It doesn't look like ghost size.
I would like to go ahead and start dematerializing the objects on the soundstage.
Okay. This depends on how well you roll.
It's like, yeah.
22. I'll say that a lot of the chairs start to disappear. Just right,
right. Just as I go to sit on one.
Yeah. So while you guys are looking, scanning around, you know, Mike's looking through the goggles and everything, some of the chairs on the soundstage just literally disappear. And with 22, I'd say maybe even a couple desks in maybe one of the cameras that's on, like, the stand and everything like that.
So I look through the goggles. Do I see that the, were those chairs real?
They were 100% real. And it's not, they're invisible, they're gone.
That's a really neat trick.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
I'm gonna use the PK meter. That's 21.
You're definitely detecting a presence in here. This is like a strong class 4 is around here somewhere.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to point out the bright object that I see.
If you point it out, and Josh, who else has a goggle?
I do.
Okay, then if Mike spots it, he could point it out, you guys could see it.
We're all just standing there, and the bright thing might go, there it is!
Well, it's easy to look over because there is an aura everywhere else,
right.
And it's small. You know, you wouldn't really be looking for something, you're looking for something that's more of a ghost size or whatever, you know. But yeah, you would see it if he points it out.
I'm gonna make it a cool roll to see if dematerialization is a trait that I've heard of before in other ghost histories, Tobin Spirit Guide, that kind of thing.
You're a gambling man, right?
Not with real money.
Oh, dicks. So there is a ghost eye.
24 and a ghost.
You are aware that this does happen. It's a little bit more rare.
Now, do the objects disappear forever, or have they actually been transported?
With the ghost eye, you do not remember.
Okay.
I'm gonna look for like a door. You say it's through a wall, like in like an office area or something like that. Like I might think.
That's what you would be led to believe, because like there's a few doors that exit the soundstage into like an office area. From where you're seeing this bright spot, it is like, again, it's not in the soundstage. It looks like it's sort of further away. And I'll say that there's a door nearby where if you were gonna go check it out.
I'm gonna go check that out.
Okay. I'll say if you go into it is an office area. A few doors leading to some private offices, closed off, whatever. If you're following the light and you're like moving through some hallways, there's a couple twists and turns. The offices are empty for the day because this is like, you know, like on the weekend. You find yourself going down the hallway and you're being led to a door that belongs to the producer of Victor Brahman. And it's locked, but his name is on the door.
This is the guy who called us.
No. This is the guy who didn't really want to talk to you. The guy who called you is Carrico. But it's Brahman's office. It's a locked door. But you're sensing, you're seeing that, yeah, whatever it is, it seems to be in this room.
Well, he signed the waiver.
I pull my pistol and go, I can pick lock doors.
I mean, by all means.
So you could easily just melt that lock off, just cut the hole right
out. Or we could ask for the key. But we don't have a
or I can kick the door down.
Up to you. You want to shoot the lock off, or you want to kick it down? Okay. All right. All right. So you just lock out.
And go, oops.
There was a ghost there.
We missed. The door suddenly, and I'm just going to push it open. Door suddenly swung open. Oops.
You guys are aware that we were in a studio with cameras, right?
But if you open the door into the private office, it's a nice office. It's not too large. But to what?
Good call. That was actually good.
What?
He said, you know, the cameras are recording us. And he's like, yeah, but the camera isn't catching the ghost. So we could just be like, ah! Ghost!
Yeah, but us sarcastically being like, oops, and then, oh, the door suddenly swung open.
Well, you're not, this is a little bit further into the office area. Yeah. It's not, no. You go into the office, it seems like kind of a nice office, not too large. Desk, filing cabinets, this sort of stuff. What you're seeing, the glow that you're seeing seems to be inside one of the filing cabinets.
Yeah, I'm gonna PKE.
Okay.
18.
With an 18, you're detecting a strong energy reading from the filing cabinet. You're all being led to the filing cabinet, basically.
I want to open.
If you open the filing cabinet, inside is a small statue.
I'll
put it on. It binds you forever.
I put it on.
Stuck to your hand.
I put it in my pants.
You know what's sad is I actually forgot that I swear I was never just going to touch something. And I just said I'm going to grab it just because that's my natural reaction, just to want to grab it.
But if you open
Next
the drawer...
Next time you get married to a man in a painting, I'm leaving you there.
Yeah.
It wasn't me!
Right. It was entirely your fault. It all goes back. That's your fault.
Hey, look. No, I succeeded my goal.
You'd be the first person.
Now, before you get to that, I'm going to explain.
Not the last.
So anyway.
I don't want to grab it.
You open the drawer. You open the drawer, get on the floor, everybody walks out.
Oh
Chakalakalaka. The file, you open the drawer.
I'm expecting that.
Of the filing cabinet. You open the lowest drawer of the filing cabinet. Behind all the files is a small statue. It looks like some sort of bug, like an ancient bug. It's like a weird type of weird scarab that you can't recall ever seeing in reality.
The size of
like a small football.
Can I take the filing cabinet drawer, and you can usually pull them out from the kind of.
I mean, you just open it, they can see it.
Well, I just want to take it, pull it out, like, set it somewhere so that everyone can kind of gather around it.
They can see it, yeah.
I want to make it a court roll, see if I can identify the idol.
You can recognize that this is a statue. The bug itself doesn't look that familiar, but you know that in certain cults, the symbol of an animal can mean something, and they can have it mixed with certain other things, like mixed with other animals and stuff like
this
that to represent
something.
This is
the scarab, the patron saint of dung eating.
But I will say that it's on a base with like some weird wording on it that you can't really recognize too much, but there's no doubt in your mind that this is like an idol that's used, that has some ties to the occult, might have something to do with the supernatural things that are going on here.
I'm gonna go for telekinesis here.
Okay.
I'd like the paper start pull.
Oh, in the office?
Yeah.
Okay. All of a sudden, just the papers and the filing cabinet just start flying out. All the other drawers open. All the paper flies out. It becomes like a whirlwind of paper in here. It's all flying out, making a big mess.
Give the idol a quick like tap.
No, nothing happens if you tap it.
Pick it up.
So, because he grabbed it, he doesn't have to make out with the butt monster. I see how this is going.
The problem is he's trying to tell. He's doing it for scientific inquiry, not just because. Hey guys, look at my new ring.
I thought I put it on special powers.
Wait, hold on. You know what's funny is that this statue also didn't come with a printed warning.
For people that we trust, saying this is probably a bad idea.
But I'll say okay. So if you pick up the statue, it's about the size like a small football. It appears to be made out of stone, but like colored, like very black. Like it's been dyed black, it seems. Oh. This thing is glowing pretty powerfully. Not as powerfully as Briggs' ring or anything like that. You two are also starting to suspect that this has to have something to do with what's going on. It can't be a coincidence that this is in here and there also happens to be a supernatural ghost floating around.
Can we bring it outside and slime it? Outside the office, I mean.
Okay. You want to take it to the soundstage or like outside?
The soundstage, because it'll clean up easy there.
Yeah, okay, so if you walk onto the soundstage, what's going to happen?
Make illusion, recreate. My soundstage of Mr.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
Of Mr. Richard.
Oh, I thought he was going somewhere way more horrible than that.
23
on a ghost.
Pool gets liver cancer because he's.
I'll say okay. I'll say you open.
That was pretty good.
You go back out to the soundstage. When you go onto the soundstage, the heart of the hamster soundstage isn't there, and you see like. What you would guess is Mr. Richard's soundstage, and it's very...
Mike just goes...
I punch him right in the stomach as soon as he does that.
You know, it's instead of it being like the classroom and everything, there's like rainbows and castles and clouds and like a meadow and like, you know...
A little train set.
Yeah.
I thought you said meta instead of meadow. Oh, yeah. Cool.
But, it doesn't look like you're actually in a magical place. It just looks like that soundstage.
That sounds
where you're just like, this was not here when we left earlier.
Like, are the people still here? Like,
I go back in the hall and close the door. Open it.
Alright. So you want to like walk in the middle of the soundstage and then try and slide this thing?
Yeah. So I guess we can take a wary look at what's going on there.
Yeah.
I want to tap dance my way onto the soundstage.
Are there any, like,
you have tap dancing? Is that your talent?
Like,
no,
you,
like, I'll try my puppets or anything.
Yeah, there's like some puppets and stuff. Yeah.
I'm just going to poke at one, pick one up.
Give me a brains.
He's now scared.
I mean, I'll say if it's like a puppet or whatever. I'll say if a puppet, you go over, you pick it up, it's a puppet.
I put it on and walk up to Brazil.
Hi, Briggs! How are you doing today?
I punch his hand.
But it seems completely real to you, so.
Okay, are you gonna do something else?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fart.
Since he's messing with some of my puppets here.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 35.
35 to go.
What are we trying to
do? I'm gonna have some of the other puppets start to levitate and start,
and start to
like interact with the guys, like characters on the set.
Guys,
okay.
Can we shoot them?
So if Mike goes over, Mike is just like, hey, Briggs, how's it going on? Then like behind wall over his shoulder that Briggs can see is like, hi, kids. And it's just like a little mouse or something. They all just start like singing a happy song or whatever. Clearly, there's a lot of activity going on. Are you gonna try and slime the statue?
Yep.
It does seem to have an effect on everything that's happening around you right now, but it does seem to affect the amount of glowing on the statue itself. It seems to weaken.
Okay.
But yeah, these puppets are going to all be like trying to talk to you. It's as if they're seeing you as children. They're not really seeing you as like Ghostbusters or anything.
I say, well, hey, puppets, what's today's episode about?
We're going to be talking about the power of imagination and how to get rid of your worst fears. It's like, there's nothing to be afraid of. And then we're going to have a song and dance.
And I wait, sorry.
What are your worst fears?
I bite my lip and I go, and I flick my proton pack on.
It's just like, what, like a little puppet, or like a little mouse puppet, little beaver puppet, just like, beaver puppet's like, I'm afraid of not, it's like, never having enough wood. It's like very cartoony, you know, things or whatever.
All I hear your mother has the same
thing. It's like, well, she's a beaver too.
Yeah, I bet she is.
You knew Mrs. Beaver?
Intimately.
Biblically.
Biblically.
I had knowledge of her, yes.
We're an abominational children's show. You can't talk about that here.
Then another puppet who hasn't said anything is, I'm starting to worry about the FCC. That's my fear.
That's my biggest fear.
Go ahead and start making an appearance here in my in my show suit here.
I'll just then in that case, if you're gonna formally appear, I'll just say that the puppets are like, well, we don't have time for that now because now it's time for the show to begin, and they just start like this stereotypical wind up of a children's audience, and they're gonna start singing the intro song. And then
My ears and start screaming.
It's like,
no!
The climax of the song ends with them all like with their hands, pointed towards the towards like where the rainbow is, and out through like the central dais where Mr. Richard would stand. Out comes through the wall comes will be the ghost of Mr. Richard in a nice little sweater vest. And then now, so it's your show now, man. Like the children audience is a little smaller than usual, but no less, they deserve an education.
So we're both bigger and smaller than usual.
I'm gonna glance at that and go, hi, Mr. Richards!
Hi there, boys and girls.
Hi. I wave. You see me
not embarrass me in front of Mr. Richards!
It's like, you see me waving? I said, hi. That's my greeting to ghosts.
Not everybody gets to meet their childhood hero after they're dead.
Seriously.
One chance. Don't screw this
up. Boson darting you after this.
And I greet all the little puppets as I walk down.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, just like.
And well, you appear to be a little bit big for children, but.
Let's say that you love all children, no matter what.
Well,
size
no matter what
and color and shape they
have.
Yeah, we're
like, okay, well, I guess let's play along. And I'm just going to look at wall, and he's got the trap. I'm like, I guess get ready. I don't know.
I kind of unhook the trap, I guess.
Make yourself a little comfortable. And it's like, loosen up. How long would you let it go on for before you're going to step in?
Let's say a couple minutes.
Like a couple minutes? Because I'll say if you...
Just to see to get an idea of where the show's going.
He's gonna go on for, like, at least the next 70 minutes. Unless you stop him and interrupt sometime in between.
Okay.
I PKE just to get an idea of what's going on.
He's a strong class 4. The rest of the set might be a class 1.
I'm really bored. Mm-hmm. I'm like nodding off. Mm-hmm. And then...
It's not you. You are not the demographic for this.
Yeah. And then I kind of wake up and just fire a net at him.
Like, you kind of nod off and then they finish a lesson. The puppets all go, yay! What the fuck?
The net would work if you were going to try and shake out of it. Because he's not corporeal. This is like, it all... The energy from him, all comes from the same place. It's over. So you could snap out of it at this point. Yeah. The only reason he would have the time to really do this is because we haven't really gone into combat yet. But now, how are you going to react to that?
Now, children, I've told you before about between doing things that are good and bad. Unfortunately, I'll have to give you a lesson today on what happens to bad children.
Does he like phase him out of existence?
I flick on my proton.
is Mr. Richard?
I don't know. Mine's been on the whole time.
Time as well.
No.
Oh, good.
And in that action, I'm gonna slime him.
Yeah, I'll say that he just before you can even react, just zooms across the soundstage, and just goes right through you, slams you really well. It's going to knock your cooldown to half, but that will be the beginning of combat, and Walwood has the opportunity to go first if he chooses to do so. He just goes through pool. He's going to make a banking turn to come back around.
Is he far enough away to Boson from light? Or pool?
He's a little too close to Boson.
I'm going
to
shoot.
Holy
shit!
Oh man!
Now, clean miss. Just miss him wide. You hit the wall of the soundstage.
Okay, I'm gonna try to net the puppets so they don't get in.
Okay, your aim is dead on, but the net just goes right through them.
Now, I have my goggles on.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell that they're non-corporeal?
I'll need a brains roll.
Okay, 9.
You see them. They look like they'd be ectoplasmic, like a regular ectoplasmic extension of this thing. But you're thinking like, why it shouldn't go through them? But I can see that they're ectoplasmic. Something's weird. That's all you're going to get from that. All
right,
I believe it'll be back to pool.
I'm gonna take a shot with my.
You just had a grown man inside you. How'd that feel?
18 would hit him. Yeah, you get one. You get one and you hit on him.
I'm gonna go ahead and start picking up pieces of the set here and start trying to throw it at the guys here.
Okay. Like telekinesis or like your ghostly body? You're just like,
telekinesis.
Such angry Mr. Rogers. Like,
are you gonna aim for anyone in particular?
Let's start taking pieces and aiming at everybody here.
Okay, some of the softer puppets that aren't being activated, like they're off on a cart somewhere or whatever, and some like candy that you give out to the audience or whatever, boxes of candy and everything, start just like coming up, flying up, and they're just gonna come flying across, start pelting you guys. I'll say, along with that, maybe some chairs and things, Josh, and you're gonna have to give me like a dodge to kind of avoid some like the heavier stuff, like the chairs and stuff.
11.
11 would be okay, because you can see this coming. It's just kind of annoying right now.
I'm going to just take a seat, you know, sit cross-legged on the floor, and I'm gonna yell, "This show sucks! I want to watch Harvey the Hamster!"
Well,
I
want to
watch Harvey!
All right, say,
Mr. Richards is lame!
Are you going to catch his drift or whatever?
Yeah, I'd say, I hate imagination. I want to be a dock worker.
Oh, we'll take a break in combat then if you're going to go for this and see what happens. Yeah, it's,
I want to just increase the illusion here of the show.
Mm-hmm. You want it to be like it's real now?
No,
or something?
Like a real show.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Like the imagination's now becoming realism.
Okay, okay. I'll say like the grass, like a giant carpet just unrolls really quickly under everyone's feet, and like little flowers start popping up, and it just seems that you're in like a crazy fantasy world now. It doesn't look like you're on a soundstage anymore.
This is awesome.
You're like, what point is imagination if you're just gonna make everything real?
Well, wait.
The air smells like lemonade and cotton candy.
A perpetual summer.
Yeah. The sun has a big happy face on it. It's like, oh,
it's Toontown.
Yeah, it's turning into Toontown.
I start looking for
Hunter. You know, like everything's got a little face on it. You know. Starts,
if I pluck a flower, does it like kill it?
No, it's just like. It's just, if you go pluck like a little sunflower or whatever that's on the ground, it's little leaves or arms. Like, I love you, and just wraps it like.
And I'm just like,
dude, roll for love.
Dude, no, I got a lady back in London.
Missing every opportunity, man.
Seriously.
The statue. What happens if we like pick it up and like kind of show it to him, or like move it towards him?
I'll say that the statue, it makes you feel a little uncomfortable, but you don't know what that is. You think it's ugly.
Yeah.
You don't like what I brought to show and tell, Mr. Richards?
But to you, out of character, it's like a hole of imagination, like a black hole of like evil, of just like, that's bad. You know, Mr. Richards would not want to have anything to do with that.
I take the statue, hold out of it, and I go,
my mom said that I should quit dreaming because imagination don't pay the bills. My teacher says I need drugs to stop my imagination.
Playtime's over.
It's like my mom wanted me to be a starving artist. She said to follow your advice.
Oh. It's like those who can't do teach. Those who can't teach, teach on public television. You can see he's no longer he's kind of broken character as not the happy-go-lucky guy. You really pissed him off.
Okay.
Which is weird. So I'm going to start, you know, the imagination's dumb. Feelings are stupid. Right. And then I'm going to shoot him.
Okay.
Well, our goal is to bust him. Like, yeah. That's it. Yeah. I just don't have a proton pack or I would have shot at him already.
Okay, with a 20, you would hit him. I'll just hit you. So it's like, it's been hurting. So now it's like the kid gloves are off. It's no longer fun and games anymore. This is like, you don't know that you're dead, so you're starting to fear for your life almost, mm-hmm. You know?
I just wanted to make kids happy and inspire, imagination.
In your mind, you have authority over them, but they're hurting you, like physically. Like, it's messed up, so.
I'm going to start creating illusions. Mm-hmm. How about have the beaver just start becoming more aggressive, a little more larger?
Become larger, a little bit more aggressive.
Mom's going to go nipple.
It turns into one of those, like, prehistoric, like, beavers that you see that are just, like, got really big claws.
He's going to go, you know. Over one of these little grassy hills, this big beaver just comes over with his tail, and he's like the size of, a small pony. And he's just like, you guys are very nice. Like, and he's gonna start making like he's gonna attack. He's gonna start charging like he's gonna attack you guys.
I shoot the beaver.
You hit it. It just goes right through. Nothing happens.
Oh. It's just like, that wasn't nice at all. I'm gonna bite you.
This is like, no way. Buck teeth. This is like.
As a last ditch effort here, I'm gonna try to create an illusion here. Of a unicorn. Okay. A very just angered, enlarged unicorn.
Charging with his head down?
Like. Yeah, charging, horn down, okay. Charging.
Okay. I'll say the opposite direction of where the beaver is sort of trudging over the hill. On the opposite side, a unicorn just comes full sprint, with his horn down, ready to go.
Can I make a brains roll and disbelieve that?
Yeah. Give me brains.
Oh, jeez. Nope.
You're like, wait a minute, this might be fake. And they're just like, starting to be like, sounds real to me! just convince you. It's just like.
Alright. I'm gonna dodge. I'm gonna dive out of the way then.
Okay.
24.
You would dodge, yeah. You could dodge out of the way. And it's on two bricks.
I'm gonna use PK meter and I'm just gonna go, because the beaver, the proton stream going through the beaver, I'm just gonna be like, alright, well, what's the deal with these guys?
See if we get a reading?
Yeah, and then just try to determine whether or not these are an actual threat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good roll.
21.
You're getting class 1 readings from them. It would seem weird to you that these are so big, and yet they're only class 1s. That's a red flag.
I guess I'm just going to slime him.
Okay.
You could even coat a slime. Make sure, you know, there's no drippings afterwards. Dries nice.
Feeling okay? You feeling good?
He's not looking good. It's he's not looking good. It's
does sliming him have an effect on any of the illusions?
It actually probably would. I'd say that this imagination will kind of flicker a little bit. It kind of gets a little dim.
Oh.
Yeah. It's off to a pool now, I believe.
I'm gonna take a shot at
him. Okay. That hits. You're not that far. He's looking really bad. On to Briggs.
I'm gonna boson dart Mr. Richards.
Mm-hmm. That hurt real bad. This is no good. And so, meanwhile, Mike, you in your mind, you had just shot him, and everyone else is trying to fight. This beaver with his giant beaver teeth is gonna just sink into your leg, and just before he's about to chomp down on you, the imagination just the whole thing just disappears, and you're back on the soundstage. So it's like, it's a close call. It's like, it was intense for a moment, but you are back on the soundstage. And you're seeing that Mr. Richard is in fact there, but it looks like the regular Harvey the Hamster soundstage now.
Okay.
And he's looking really bad.
I'm gonna shoot Mr. Richard.
It's just you hit him, and you get a capture stream.
Yes, it's me. So I'm gonna try establish a capture stream.
You come close. maybe, but you don't hit. And since LaForge doesn't have a proton stream, and Cole doesn't have a proton stream that can trap, it would automatically go back to Wall, but Wall's already trapped. Yeah. Wall's already got a capture stream. It would, but he's trapped. He's captured. He's in a capture stream. He's got zero and no presence at this point.
If someone can toss out a trap, can I one man it again?
I can give it a try. Yeah, no. Right. In fact, do either of you guys have a trap? Either you carrying a trap? All right.
I'm the only person carrying a trap other than Briggs.
Briggs had one.
It's an Ecto one.
Oh, yes, you are. You're the only one.
So this is what happens. So you get a capture stream. You're like, all right, got him. Briggs, throw it. And then Briggs just misses. And you're like, all right, someone else. And you look and you guys just slime tank. And you're like, I'm sorry, pistol. And then you're like, all right, well then I'll one man it. Someone put a trap out. Briggs, put a trap out. And you're like, I left it in the car. God damn it!
Briggs, go get Wall's trap.
Just take it off his hip.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that.
Alright. Give me moves to simultaneously get it off his hip and to throw it to where you need to go. 13's good enough to go over it, to get it off of his hip and to slide it under. Are you good enough? You gonna open it?
Well, yeah.
Okay, you open it, and it's on Wall. Wall's gonna try to one man this ghost. 15 is good. It's not quite good enough. This means that Briggs can get another chance to try and get him in.
16. 19.
You get him. You get a capture stream. So you're on it. So both of you give me another moves.
19.
16.
Yep. You both you get him in.
Tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You maneuver him over the trap. Really the trap just sucks him in. He's just like,
you can never take away one's dreams.
Hey, watch me.
And the trap seal shut, smoke and heat, and you got him. But you notice that Tobin's not there. Hold on. Okay. Don't freak out. Tobin comes running into the soundstage with a book in his mouth. From the only place that was open, the only place that had an open door was the open door to that guy's office, where you got the statue.
And does the statue get warmer as the book is?
No. Okay. But he comes over, he spits the book out on the floor. You guys got goggles or whatever?
Yeah, we got goggles.
The book has some residual, like, touchings on it. Not like the book itself is not necessarily.
Pick it up, wipe off the dog drool, open it. Is there a title on it?
There's no title.
Alright, I'll open it up and start reading.
Dear Diary.
It's like incomprehensible chicken scratch demon occult shit. Oh. Like, this is craziness.
Oh, yeah. Let me get take a look at it.
Yeah.
There you go, Josh.
All right.
16 and a ghost.
With 16, I'll say that you can piece together from, like, the illustrations and stuff inside that this is a quick how-to guide on how to raise a spirit from the dead and anchor it somewhere to haunt a place intentionally. You can't get much else out of it.
Wait, whose office was that?
This is the office belonging to the producer, Mr. Brahman.
Can we go say hello?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so, we need to get in contact with the, Kierkegaard.
Krakakoa.
Mr.
Karako.
Do you want to go out to meet him? Because you know that they're, like, outside, waiting, basically. Do you want to go out to meet him? Do you want to call him in?
I want to call him in.
Hey, you. No, not you. You stay.
You. Okay, you can call him.
Mr. Krakoa?
Carrico.
I'm enjoying this a lot.
Mr. Kerrigan, if you will, please.
Carradine.
Yeah, Mr. Carradine. Please come inside for a moment. I have a question. But I'm gonna hold the statue and the book,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna say, hey, has Brahman expressed any interest in ending this show?
Harvey the Hamster?
Yeah.
He was very reluctant to start up another show.
Is there any monetary reason why he would be reluctant to have another show after this?
Technically, he does own the studio and the land that we're on.
It said that if the show couldn't get off the ground, they were going to bulldoze the entire studio.
That is true, yeah. But only at the behest of Mr. Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there any insurance?
Oh, yeah, there's insurance on the building.
That he can make.
Yeah, I mean, well, technically, if something terrible were to happen, you know, we would get the money to rebuild it.
So, okay, I think this one's pretty much wrapped up. Like yeah. we know exactly what's going on. Okay, I want to call Friedman and mm-hmm. let him know that they're, we have potentially somebody who is trying to abuse psychokinetic energy for personal gain and for weird experiments.
Okay.
And we don't know who to contact about that.
He says, just give me your address. I'm going to contact local police, and we'll get them down there. I'll explain the situation to them and how this is serious business.
Okay, cool.
So,
we always have a really hard time when we have to deal with something that's not dead.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll walk outside and build them.
Okay.
With
that, Carrico follows you out or whatever. Once you guys step outside, it's not more than just a couple minutes before, like, several police cars just pull up. They start asking questions. Then they're just like, all right, which one do you use, Brahman, or whatever? And they, as soon as he identifies himself, they just slap the cuffs on him, and they're just like, you're under arrest for public endangerment, and they start listing off these things, so it's like, Alan Friedman really did a solid. It's like, I mean, like, he's got some sway, it seems.
He knew what to book him for.
Yeah, he knew the codes to say, like, he knew all that stuff, and they're gonna start taking him away, and as they're, you know, before they're gonna take him away,
I wave.
Yeah. Goodbye. Carrico is just like, you know, he's glad that you guys saved him, but he's very upset. He's like, why would you do this? You know, this is this is our lives. You know, like the whole crew that works. This is a madness or whatever. Ramen's like, and I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for these kids and that damn dog.
These meddling kids.
But they take him away, and he's gone. So Carrico's just like, man, thanks you guys. You know, sucks that one of our head producers was trying to sabotage the show. But at least we're back on now. We can get back to work. What are we looking at here? What am I going to be sending to corporate as far as this bill's concerned?
This turned out to be a little heavier than we were expecting. This is a standard ghost bus, but this is a class 4 ghost, which is a $4,500 fee normally for containment and all that. But we had to travel, and there's expenses, including, but mostly where the extra charge comes from is handling and removal of dangerous artifacts, okay, of which we have two. So normally we would charge each of those individually as part of what class it would register for, its maximum possible threat. Instead, we're just going to charge this whole thing as a class 6.
Okay. He doesn't know what that means, but it sounds simple to him.
Yeah, okay. That's like, I'm simplifying it for him.
Okay, yeah.
Now, while we're here, if you guys are doing any recording this weekend, we're going to probably kind of get us out there a little more. We could guest star on an episode of Harvey the Hamster.
Kids love us. You're a good man.
The kids love us.
Just go safety training, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, aside from the money, you guys did save, like, the livelihood of these guys who work on the show here, man. Like, you know, if they didn't have this job, like, we have a job. So, yeah, how about you come back in, like, a week, and we'll record a little spot for you guys on the show.
Yeah, talk to
the
kids and stuff. You know, we've got the tools and we've got the talent, but we're going to give you the knowledge.
Do we tie off all loose ends season 2 tonight?
Let's go over anything. Is there any other questions that you guys had? Any other things that we need to address? Got your painting hanging up in the firehouse.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Fuck yeah.
Which painting metal is that? Painting.
The painting.
The big battle.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh god, that's yeah. Right, sorry.
You guys also have the two-handed very large battle axe that used to belong to your knight buddies.
Yeah, we totally stole that.
Yeah. But you got that. You still,
the
you
Tower
you
st- of London.
Yeah. Got that.
I lost the ring, which is great news.
Yeah, I think gone. In a painting.
Remember that time it was gone and you got it back? Like, that's so awesome. Oh my god.
I always know I was the most unhappy person in the entire world. Everyone else was so happy and I was
so hard.
But if that's it, I think that might be it. I don't think there's anything else. Any other last things that we need to wrap up before?
A round of applause for our ghost master.
Thank you.
And another round for our gracious guest.
Yes.
Mr. Richards, personified.
It's tough to be a ghost in a Ghostbusting game.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much you can do. And you're like...
And you get one turn for every four of ours.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just sort of like, I really am kind of doomed to lose. You know what I mean? There's really no thing. But as long as you can have fun along the way and add some color to it, that's all it's like.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all better than me. Busting makes me feel good.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is brought to you by A Comic Shop and the generous support of listeners like you.
That means we rely on you to keep us in business by telling a friend, reviewing us on iTunes, or making contributions in our monthly support drive.
And if you act now, you can take advantage of our special half-price service plan.
Whoa, hold on. Half price? Have we all gone mad?
I guess so, Poole. Because that's not all. Tell them, Briggs.
Oh, you mean if you donate even $1, you get access to exclusive Nerdy Show content and cool perks?
That's right. And you can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store.
So don't wait another minute. Make your supernatural problem our supernatural problem.
If you'd like to report a spook, specter, or ghost, call us at 321-209-2020.
You can also follow us, or the Nerdy Show, on all your favorite social networks.
We're ready to believe you!
Thank you for saving the world. No.
Hey, you Ghostbusters guys. Why don't you put down those teacher toys and do something useful? Space Toast blew up my planet, so why don't you take him out, huh? That'd be useful. Why don't you do something like that, huh? Huh?
Nigga, I got a ghost! It's a poltergeist! It's throwing shit around! People are flying through the air! I need help, nigga! I need help!
Hey guys, this is Ferguson, the Atlantic Ghostbusters. How are you guys doing today? Got a bit of an issue. We've got a spectral pirate ship going along up here, and we need the help of Nina or possibly even Doug. First off, these ghosts are speaking Spanish. We can't figure hiding their hair or that. Secondly, it's a matter of international law as to what happens if these bozos have treasure in that. Can't get a hold of Louis Tully, doing New York, so having a bit of an issue. Side note, let Briggs know that our tech guy is actually working on a nice protoculture blasting cannon upgraded version of the proton pack. Anyhow, guys, if you can get back to me, it'd be very much appreciated. Otherwise, you guys have a great day. Enjoy that lovely Florida weather. Bye.
Hey, this is Brian from the Oakland and Macomb Ghostbusters. Just wanted to give you guys a shout out, say thank you so much for keeping everything alive, and everything was a really big, big hit at Michicon, so thanks so much for the gear there. And I really hope to work in with you guys again in the future. All right, you guys have a great one.
Hi, Nina. This is Sammy with the Vancouver Division up in Canada. I know I should probably be calling the Ghostbusters of BC with this, but they tend to treat us like unprofessional part-timers, and I really don't want to prove them right. We had someone bring in an old jungle-themed board game complaining of phantom drumming. Douglas took a scan. It came back a plastic semi-anchored conduit. I mean, regardless, it didn't stop Charlie and Jeremy from just opening the thing right up. Listen, I don't really know what the hell they did to it, but the entire fire hall is a jungle now. They've been trying to trap it for hours, and everything they do is just making it worse. Listen, I know your team has had some experience with manifested jungles in the past, so if you could get one of them to give us a call back, I would really appreciate it. And now it is raining! Awesome! Thank you, Nina.